It is the morning show. I'm Kate Archer-Kent. We check in now on the foster care system in our state, as about 6,400 children are currently in out-of-home care. That's according to the state dashboard from the Children and Family Services Department. Call in with questions about foster care or being a foster family, 800-642-1234. Email ideas at WPR.org. Oriana Carey is CEO of the Coalition for Children, Youth, and Families. That's a statewide organization in West Allis. Oriana, welcome back to the Ideas Network.
Good morning, and thank you for having me.
So looking at these numbers, the number of children in foster care in Wisconsin is down from a high of more than 7,800 in 2018. What do you see happening?
Well, we are in 2018, there was a federal legislation that was passed to make some important changes to our foster care system and child welfare. And that was to make sure that we're examining how we can keep children at home safely whenever possible, or keep them in relative settings. And so this is now a response to a lot of work happening across the state of Wisconsin in all 72 counties and within our 11 tribes to continue to make an effort to try to put community services and look at how we can reduce that family disconnection or breaking families apart.
So you attribute the decline of the number of children in out-of-home care to the Family First Prevention Services Act that was signed into law about 5 years ago. Has it made an impact?
It is making an impact because we're working slowly to make those changes. And I say slowly because you're talking about a system that has years and years of history in it, and we still have to make sure and ensure that children are safe in their communities. But what we know is that the largest driver of children coming into our system is neglect, not what people have the perception of physical or sexual abuse. And so we need to be able to look at that more closely and find out what families need to be able to parent their children and not have that family be disrupted.
And looking at the data and that dashboard, it really shows very clearly that neglect is the overriding reason, outpacing, you know, any other reason. But neglect is one word. What can you tell us more about what might be going on?
Oh, and see, that is a variety of situations, you know, that you're talking about. And that is why I say we're trying to look as a system at what that means. And so there's a lot of complex factors going on, right? So poverty, mental health, addiction, and many other of our systemic problems intersecting with each other, put those families in a much more vulnerable place to be involved with our systems. And so sometimes, you know, it's families or individuals who don't have sort of the historical family connection and money to fall back onto. It can be something that starts a very simple situation that then starts to grow out of somebody's control. And then at times, you know, making decisions that may create a more difficult or challenging situation. I would also point to the challenges we currently have and continue to have in having enough mental health and substance abuse providers in the state of Wisconsin, and that concern is growing. And so it makes it really challenging to get people the help they need and to keep families together.
What do you make of the caseworker workloads? That has been an issue in the past.
Well, you know, that is a continual thing that the system is continuing to look at. You know, also in all areas of human services, just like what is happening in the private sector, you know, we are really experiencing a talent shortage. We are experiencing a challenge in having enough people to do the work we need to have done, with many, many contributing factors, including, you know, it's a challenging job. And we have to continue to work at how we can support our frontline staff when they have compassion fatigue and help them feel supported in the job they're doing.
Talking about foster care in Wisconsin with Oriana Carey, CEO of Coalition for Children, Youth, and Families, you can join in with your questions and experiences at 800-642-1234. Oriana, for a moment here, I'd love it if you could put more of a face to the system, and explain what misconceptions that you encounter about who are foster youth.
Yeah. So I would just like to take a moment and have your listeners and you think about, you know, quickly your morning and everything that was around you that was familiar, and that helped sort of ground you in where you are. Now imagine, and I usually do this visualization with people, imagine somebody coming into your home right now and saying, it's time to go. You have to leave. You have to come with me. And we're all adults, and that would be jarring. Now imagine what happens in the life of somebody who doesn't, who's had to navigate a lot of things, and now I'm being removed from everything that is known to me, everything that is around me, and I am being put in a situation where, you know, I should trust you and all the people around me. I would say to your listeners and to you, I think it would be very jarring. And so a lot of what I say to everyone is to remember both the families and the kiddos involved didn't wake up this morning trying to be troublemakers or cause harm or do those things. There is a lot of trauma, generational trauma, historic racism, lots of things that have impacted the families and youth that come into our system.
Your scenario is just, you know, it makes my stomach hurt. It brings tears. The term placement instability and describing moving a child from one foster home to another, what impact does that have?
Well, again, you know, I would say, imagine you get used to one scenario and now you have to move again. And how you would start to feel about yourself? Would you possibly start to think that I'm the problem? And at the same time, families who have to make challenging decisions to say they can't care for this child any longer, they need supports, they need help, and there is a lot of factors. So there are not bad people, there are challenging situations.
Foster families undergo training and licensing, including for relatives of children needing homes. How do relatives respond to the process?
You know, I think that is equally a complex piece. You know, what I often say to people is when somebody chooses to foster or adopt, they've had some deliberative time, they've had some time to think about it. Now imagine it is your grandchild or your niece or nephew or brother or sister, and you have very little time to decide. And of course you want to care for a relative. Of course you want to take someone in, but you have very little time to decide what that all could mean. And you may not know all of what's going on or had been going on within that home.
Oriana Carey, our guide to child welfare in Wisconsin, CEO of the Coalition for Children, Youth, and Families. Call in with your questions and experiences with the foster care system, what you see, what you want to add to this conversation, 800-642-1234. I'm Kate Archer-Kent. You're listening to The Morning Show on the Ideas Network. It is the morning show. I'm Kate Archer Kent. We examine the child welfare system here in Wisconsin, how to become a foster family. This conversation was inspired by Jane in Milwaukee, who is interested in the process.
In particular, on how to become a foster parent, I recently found out that there's no upper age limit.
Call in with your questions and comments, 800-642-1234. Oriana Carey is CEO of the Coalition for Children, Youth, and Families. Let's bring in Julie now in Dane County. Hi, Julie.
Hi.
What would you like to bring up?
I wasn't aware of the federal changes, but clearly the movement towards keeping kids with extended relatives is a good move. But in the meantime, I feel that it's clear that we're leaving children in harm's way, and that unfortunately, it seems to me that the government agencies have been kind of hiding the neglect that is the long-term greatest harm. Not that the physical or sexual abuse are not harmful. They clearly are and require immediate action, but we've been doing it to the neglect of all other children and the long-term harm. In 2019, before the pandemic, before everybody makes excuses for why we haven't done anything, there were over 800 reports of neglect in the state of Wisconsin, and under 10 of those were founded. All of those, over half of those, were reported by mandatory reporters. So I'm wondering why we are hiding neglect and not doing more about that. There's no need for foster parents because kids aren't being taken.
Julie, thank you so much. And Oriana, I want you to be able to respond to that.
I think Julie raises a very good point about the long-term effects of neglect. And there is a lot that needs to continue to be looked at and examined with that. I would also point out that what we know is that it is an additional traumatic event for someone to be removed from their family. And so we have to make sure that we're making those choices calmly and within the confines of the law. You know, I completely understand. I think when you're a mandated reporter, teachers and people that see very difficult things that happen each day, you want something to change. However, there are laws in place that dictate what threshold that has to meet, because if it was your family or someone else, you wouldn't want us to be able to apply laws in any way that we saw fit. But to address that issue of long-term neglect, we really need to beef up our community response. These are families that need help. We need to have enough services and people supporting them on the ground and in their communities so that we can mitigate those situations of what we would talk about long-term neglect. We also have lifelong challenges for children who age out of our foster care system, as we started the show off with. So we want to be really mindful of the decisions. I know that is probably not the answer people want to hear me say. I think there is a lot of concern that is justified. It's just much more complex than it can appear on the surface.
Julie, thank you so much for calling in. Oriana, I want to switch gears here and look at the first steps toward becoming a foster parent or a foster family, and what one should be thinking about, as they go down this path. Can you help us there?
Sure. And so, you know, we can, you can either go to the Wisconsin Department of Children and Families website or to WIFosterCareAndAdoption.org. That is something that we manage. We have people that can talk to you about that process. There are information packets. But what I would say is that what we need from families to support our youth are people who are flexible, open, willing to continue to learn, and who are willing to help that family, because the goal of child welfare is reunifying that family. And so there is training and there is support to help build understanding about some of those myths. Foster families who do this well, foster families that I have had the pleasure of working with for over 17 years, know how to work with birth families. They do it well and they keep that connection strong so that when somebody is reunified with their family, that that foster family then becomes an additional support system, a help system for that family. And so I think it's going into the process wanting to help a family, wanting to make families and children strong, resilient, and thriving for our communities for the long term.
That helps. Thank you so much. Oriana Carey with us, CEO of the Coalition for Children, Youth, and Families. You can join the conversation at 800-642-1234. Your organization facilitates foster care to adoption cases. What can you tell us there?
We give information about that. You know, in each state looks at this process called foster to adoption a little bit differently. Again, as I've said, Wisconsin, we prioritize families staying together, reunification. However, there are times when that is not possible. And then we first look to the foster family for which children are placed with. We can understand that, right? We don't want more moves. And so then those families can make a decision to begin to make that plan for adoption. Sometimes that's not going to work. There are people who also then go through training processes to, you know, like what you say, foster to adopt with the specific intent to adopt. And, you know, what we would say to that again is remembering what and how the system works. And so it is not something that happens quickly. It is also really important to remember that adoption, like all parenting, is lifelong. We have a lot of older youth in our state that need lifelong connections. I believe one of your next guests, the representative from Nebraska, is it?
Yes, you're leading us right there. And
he's going to speak about that, you know, and I think he can speak to that from his personal experience. But, you know, we don't want youth to leave our system alone. And no one, most children are not alone anymore at 18. And so imagine that scenario as well. So we always tell people, learn about the process and keep an open mind.
In our last seconds together, what would you like to tell Congress about addressing foster care issues?
You know, I think what the federal legislation that I mentioned within this conversation, I think the caucus needs to continue to look at that piece of legislation, listen to our youth, and look to see if there are any unintended barriers in that legislation that is not going to help us be successful. It is an amazing piece of legislation. We want to be successful. The states want to be successful. And I think it is important to continue to look at that. What is it truly going to take to keep more kids out of our system? What is it going to take to help more kids be in family-like settings versus congregate care settings? And what can we do for kids that have really complex needs?
Oriana, thank you for joining us.
Thank you so much.
Oriana Carey is CEO of the Coalition for Children, Youth, and Families. We have a link to resources at WPR.org/mornings. And our conversation continues, turning next to lawmakers on Capitol Hill and the work of the Congressional Caucus on Foster Youth. Join in with questions, 800-642-1234. You're listening to The Morning Show on the Ideas Network. It is The Morning Show. I'm Kate Archer-Kent. The bipartisan Congressional Caucus on Foster Youth, it tackles challenges in the nation's child welfare system and seeks ways to support foster youth. Call in with questions about foster care policies, what you want federal lawmakers to know, 800-642-1234. Email ideas at WPR.org. Republican Representative Don Bacon of Nebraska is one of the group's co-chairs. Representative Bacon, welcome to the Ideas Network.
Thank you, and I enjoy great ideas, so I appreciate being on your network.
All right, thank you. And Democratic Representative Gwen Moore of Wisconsin is the caucus chair. Welcome back.
Oh, thank you for having me. Good to be here and good to be with Representative Bacon.
Well, Representative Bacon, you first here. What are your top priorities for improving foster care in America and making it a priority in your ranks when there are myriad competing priorities and in a divided Congress?
There are, but we can stand behind our 400,000 kids that are in foster care that have such mixed results. The first challenge we've had, and we've been much better, but we're improving, we got more work to do, is helping when these young adults transition out of foster care. They're the number one homeless population for those in their 20s and 30s. So we got to help them when they're transitioning out of foster care, find affordable housing, have mentors, be able to ensure that they have access to a trade schools or university. And we just got to help them navigate through that so that they can get a good job, have a place to live. And if we don't do that, they often end up homeless. So we want to keep working on the transition period. We want to keep siblings together. A lot of states do not focus on this. It is traumatic anyway when you're pulled out of your home. So we want to keep, if we can keep the brothers and sisters together, it's less traumatic. If we could promote more kinship care where aunts and uncles or grandparents are filling in instead of the foster parents, we like that. And we want to ensure the first day of foster care is as good as we can make it, ensure that they get like 5 sets of clothing and a suitcase and a toiletry kit. So those are some of the things that I am working on. We owe it to the 400,000 children to do it right.
Representative Gwen Moore, as a new co-chair on this caucus, you know, what do you have your eye on? How do you want to work and make this caucus productive and move legislation here?
Well, let me say, Kate, it might be easier to just say amen to everything that Representative Bacon has said. But just to extend what he has said, you know, when you think of someone aging out of foster care at age 18, these are the primary years for our workforce. And to just leave them dangling is sort of a market failure on our part. As an American community, one of the things that I focused on was health care. Right now, under the Affordable Care Act, we are enabling youth to stay on their parents' health care insurance until age 26, which is really important because you think about our youth, you know, they are in school, they're transitioning, they don't have that quote unquote good job yet. They're waiting tables, working in bars, and they don't have health insurance that's connected with their job. So I have really been focused on making sure that youth have access to Medicaid, which they would have been eligible for under the foster care system and extending that to beyond the state in which they receive the foster care. So that if they were to go to school out of state or get a job out of state, they would continue to have health care. I want to, as a member of the Ways and Means Committee, I'm on the Committee of Jurisdiction for Foster Youth. And so what I want to do is I want to shepherd all of the bills that come before us in Ways and Means, and make sure that they get over the finish line. All of the things that Representative Bacon has talked about and the other bills that other co-chairs find as priorities.
I want to jump in here because one of those bills, Representative Bacon, you introduced a bill that would create a grant program aiming to provide emergency relief to foster youth and improve pre-placement services. Can you talk about the Foster Care Stabilization Act?
Yes, and by the way, I really appreciate the energy that Congresswoman Moore brings to this caucus. She's new and she's got lots of energy and a big heart, so I appreciate her and her leadership. And the bill that we have, it's based off of what we're seeing in Nebraska. In Nebraska, like I went to visit one of these foster care placement centers, and they want to ensure that while that child is waiting to be placed, that they're in a home type environment, not in an office sitting on a steel chair, but a couch, maybe TV, some make it more of a home environment. And a lot of these young kids have no clothes except for what they're wearing. So we want to give them 5 sets of clothing. We want to give them a toiletry kit, a suitcase. A lot of these kids only have trash bags that they put their belongings in. And so we want to give them a better sense of dignity. It's a traumatic day anyway. If we can make it a little less traumatic, put a little more heart and care into this so that they know that, so each of these children know that they're cared for and respected and valued. That is our goal with this Stabilization Act.
Representative Moore, you co-signed the bill. Explain why you support it.
Representative Bacon has been in this fight for a long time, and I admire him. He didn't mention, he's so modest, that he has a lot of military experience and his military background. And so that is a really great combination for recognizing, because the Army and the armed services is sort of a safety net for young people. You know, they go into service when they're 18, 19 years old. And it's one of the places that foster youth don't necessarily have access to. And so when you think about his background as a military person, I mean, the military provides 3 hots and a cot and sort of discipline that young people need. And we need to mirror that experience in the larger society. I also want to mention that the National Defense Authorization Bill, our appropriations bills, our farm bills, these are all places legislatively that we can find a place to lift up the plight of foster youth. Again, this is our workforce, and we cannot afford to let them fall through the cracks. I'm telling you, I am really, really interested in having our National Foster Shadow Day, where youth come to the Hill. I have learned so much from foster youth, and the bill that the DJ Joy bill, I met Doshay DJ Joy before he passed, unfortunately, at age 26 from COVID-19. Mm. But he's the person that inspired me to look at the needs of healthcare, and we get so many great ideas, and we're so inspired by these foster youth that I'm happy to have them on the Hill in May. You know, I just want to mention this as a tangential fact. That's also Mental Health Month. And we cannot ignore the mental health status of young foster youth trying to make a very difficult transition into adulthood. And so we need to make sure that, you know, when we look through giving them 5 sets of clothes, a place to live, an educational opportunity, that we don't ignore securing their mental health status as well.
I'm going to reintroduce you here for a moment as we talk about foster care with the co-chairs of the Bipartisan Congressional Caucus on Foster Care. Gwen Moore is Wisconsin Democrat, Don Bacon, a Nebraska Republican. You can join in the conversation, 800-642-1234. Jenny in Arizona, what would you like to bring up? Go ahead, Jenny.
43 years ago, we lived in Wisconsin, and we started with the state of Wisconsin an adoption process for special needs children, which included sibling groups and older kids. We had totally given up on the adoption of a newborn child. We went through 12 weeks of classes in Milwaukee, 3 hours each week, to acquaint ourselves with the needs of children who we were going to adopt. Mental abuse, physical abuse, sexual abuse, long-term neglect, all of those issues and what to expect. At the end of it, what we found out was that the only children available for adoption in Wisconsin were extreme special needs children that would require someone to take care of them for the rest of their lives. Our only requirement was that when we died, no one else would be responsible for our choice of a family. So if that meant that those children were going to live in a room above a restaurant where they wash dishes, we would accept those children. Now, what's important here is I'd like to know what's different in Wisconsin today. I heard your previous guest.
And Jenny, I want to just jump in. And, you know, I want to actually hear from Representative Don Bacon as you had adopted children into your home.
Yeah, we have four children, two older kids that newly married. We had two children right away. And then later on, we adopted two through foster care. And I will tell you, it was a challenge, but yet it was the biggest blessing, I think, in our, when we look back in our lives, the biggest blessing that we could have had. Both are fully our kids today. We have grandkids from our daughter, our family is bigger, better, and stronger with the four. And so just as you look back, it just was a tremendous blessing.
I want to turn to one issue here to hear from you on this. A couple years ago, an NPR investigation found that Wisconsin, Nebraska, and at least 10 other states had laws allowing children to be permanently separated from their parents, and they could be separated if parents failed to pay foster care debt that was required under a federal law. And I'm wondering, Representative Gwen Moore, should the federal law remain?
No. I mean, we want to go through a complete review of the foster care system. I think Representative Bacon will agree that the thinking on foster care has been a huge pendulum swing. You know, we once thought that, I mean, if you were in foster care for 10 minutes, and I'm exaggerating a little bit, that you ought to have the parental rights terminated and kids ought to be put out for adoption. We are now realizing that kids are so much better off often with their own parents. We should not be separating kids, as traumatic as that is, for stuff like the poverty of the parent. We need to provide treatment sometimes for the whole family. And the best interest of the child needs to be redefined so that we are, in fact, making sure that we're only separating kids when it's absolutely necessary.
And Representative Bacon, really quickly here as well, I just want to get your reaction. Should biological parents be faced with, you know, thousands of dollars of bills in this type of situation?
You know, I'd have to study it a little more closely on that, but so I got to think through that. I can't give you a good answer. I'm sorry.
That's okay. And Representative Moore, I know you have to go, so thank you for joining us.
Thank you so much, and thank you, too. I just think that, we really need to revisit these things, but, I when you monetize the best interest of kids, you're going down the wrong path. I think that that's that's a good starting point for examining these policies.
U.S. Representative Gwen Moore, Democrat from Milwaukee, co-chairs the Congressional Caucus on Foster Youth with five other House members, including Nebraska Republican Don Bacon, who stays along with us. Call in with your questions and concerns about how Congress should address the needs of foster youth. The number is 800-642-1234. I'm Kate Archer-Kent. You're listening to The Morning Show on the Ideas Network. It is The Morning Show. I'm Kate Archer-Kent. We're in conversation with the Congressional Caucus on Foster Youth, one of the largest bipartisan caucuses in the House. The 34-member caucus writes legislation to support youth involved in the child welfare system. Call in with questions about how our country treats foster youth, what you want federal lawmakers to know and prioritize. 800-642-1234. We have caucus co-chair U.S. Representative Don Bacon of Nebraska, who stays with us. Representative Bacon, your colleague Gwen Moore had mentioned access to health care for foster youth and expanding it as they age out of the system. Where else are you finding consensus, finding bipartisan support to address issues in foster care?
One other area that we agree on is, you know, folks who are in foster care, the foster care parents, are often given some stipends from the government to help offset the costs. But if you have them stay with your grandparents or aunts or uncles, there is not that funding there. And so then, which makes it hard on family members to take care of, you know, these foster boys or girls. So I think we could look at how can we help keep these kids in their families? I think this should be a priority versus going off to strangers. If we could prioritize keeping them in families, but then we should look at how we could help offset some of the costs that these grandparents may have or aunts or uncles, whoever it may be. So that's another area that we have agreement on.
And if putting a finer point on extended family there, a listener emailed to ask what happens to a foster child who is placed with a family member if the relative has no intention or plan to support the student after high school. Is there any ongoing support available for those youths, such as state funds for college, federal funds, anything else like that for the youth who age out of the system?
Yeah, we've been able to extend, first of all, the transition period. In most states, it's over 18 now. It's like 21. And we're trying to do it where it tapers off. So it's just, you know, just don't pull the plug on someone. It's okay, now you get zero support. And so there are programs in place to help folks to get, housing, to help with the trade schools, to help with universities. I support also having mentors, a program that puts mentors there. Because I talked to one young man, he was 23 years old. He told me he had no health care for like 4 years after he transitioned out. But yet we had community health centers that would have given him free access to health care. He just didn't know it. And I find that that's a problem for a lot of our foster youth as they transition out. They don't have access to the information or the resources. So if we can put mentors there and help connect them to what the resources are, I think that would help quite a bit. Universities are doing a lot better job now too, also tailoring their support to foster kids, knowing they need a little bit additional support. And so I would say if you're picking a university, your foster child or foster youth, make sure that you're going to a university that knows your needs.
Let's take another call now. Allison in Racine. Allison, what is your perspective?
Hi, thanks for taking my call. I was just wondering, kind of echoing a previous caller about adoption and how incredibly difficult it is to adopt kids, whether it's through an adoption agency or through the foster care system. And I don't know if on the federal level something can be done about that, because Representative Moore, her kind of final comment was, you know, monetizing this process is really not in the best interest of the kids. Well, if you want to talk about monetizing the process and adoption as part of that conversation, I mean, it's incredibly expensive. And so I'm wondering what can be done on the federal level to help families who want to adopt kids.
Allison, thank you, Representative Bacon.
Well, I appreciate the comments, and I agree. I would say adopting babies is very challenging, and it is expensive. I would agree with that. I have found, though, when it comes to adopting foster youth, there's a huge demand for foster parents, and these kids want to have a permanent home. And a lot of times they're maybe with one family for 6 months, then 3 months, then another family a year, and they're getting passed around. They want a forever home. And so I found, in my case, I had a 6 months worth of training. That was a requirement to learn how to be a foster parent. And once we did that, we went immediately to an adoption process, and it really was not that hard. It wasn't expensive at all. And it did take 6 months of training, which I highly recommend, because a lot of these foster youth, they have a lot of baggage. It's not their fault. They've been normally put in some abusive homes or some negligent families. And so there's some things they have to overcome, and you got to be trained on that as a foster parent. But I find there's right now a big demand for foster parents to adopt. And I encourage, if you want to grow your family, if you want to invest in someone that needs love, needs care, needs mentoring, this is just an outstanding way to serve mankind and serve Americans by helping out these youth. And so I hope I can encourage people to think about it.
Representative Don Bacon, in the last minute we have left, is there something in your home state, in Nebraska, that you can point to that is really working well in the system that Wisconsin could learn from?
Well, the main one, and I touched on it before, we have a program in Nebraska where we try to put children, they're coming into foster care on their first day, in an environment that looks like a living room, you know, with a play area. So it doesn't look like one of those sterile offices with a desk and metal chairs that you see in a lot of places throughout the country. We give them 5 sets of clothing. We try to give them a suitcase, a toiletry kit. We want them to start off with a sense of dignity and respect. And I wanted to try to make this nationwide through a grant program. So that was the heart of the stabilization bill. And also, I would ask the Wisconsin citizens to look to see if Wisconsin tries to keep siblings together. States that make that a priority have a huge impact on these foster kids. When they can be kept together as brothers and sisters, it cuts down on the trauma. And so I know we try to do this in Nebraska. So I would ask Wisconsin, hey, do you have this as a priority? And if not, I would suggest maybe that's something that you can improve on.
Congressman Bacon, thank you for joining us.
Thank you.
Republican U.S. Representative Don Bacon of Nebraska is a co-chair of the Congressional Caucus on Foster Youth. And earlier we heard from fellow co-chair and Democratic Representative Gwen Moore of Wisconsin. I'm Kate Archer-Kent. You're listening to The Morning Show here on the Ideas Network.